We welcome in Michael Grange, columnist for Sportsnet.ca. How's it going, sir?
Oh, it's very good, Ashley. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday morning. Let's get right into it, Grange, because your nerve and your patience was probably tested, as well as your journalistic creativity when you interviewed Kyle Lowry at the USA basketball minicamp, trying to get an answer out of him on whether or not he's spoken to Kawhi Leonard. You didn't get much out of him, though. He was kind of holding his cards close to his chest.
Yeah, big time. It was one of those Kyle being calm moments. And, I think he had made his mind up, probably for a couple of reasons, that he was not going to address anything as it related to the DeMar DeRozan trade or the acquisition of Kawhi Leonard. And, it's just for the context, right, that minicamp, it's pretty much a who's who of the NBA.
Yep.
And there's only a small handful of guys not there. And everyone was talking about everything, right? Like Kevin Durant was talking about his beef with CJ McCollum. And, you could talk about Blake Griffin, about, Dwayne Casey. You could talk about anyone was talking about everything. And, it was a really good access point. And there's a lot of national media there. And this was, of course, the first opportunity for any media other than ESPN to talk to DeMar DeRozan about the trade, or obviously, and the first opportunity at any stretch to talk to Kyle Lowry about it. And DeMar was really forthcoming, really open, very good, as we know he usually is. And it was interesting to me that Kyle chose not to address it. It's one of those moments where you think he kind of caused more problems by not talking than talking.
And this is where I find myself a little disappointed, Michael. Like, I was there when Kyle Lowry came into the Raptors, and I thought he'd grown out of this. And I really had hoped anyway, because this is his team now, and it reminded me of Kyle Lowry of old. And he has a real shot here to be a leader. And you said in your article, his silence spoke volumes. Do you think he should have put it to bed and just addressed both sides and moved on?
Yeah, Sherry, I mean, you make a good point there. Kyle has come a long way, right? He's not the kind of angry young man he was, 6-7 years ago. And I guess I think we would all agree how the players or players talk to the media. That's not really you got to be cautious about reading too much into it. Mm-hmm. But I just think in this instance, given the amount of tumult and noise around this trade, there's a couple of different ways Kyle could have handled it that would have made things a little better, or at least calmed the waters a little bit. And, and his choosing not to does the opposite. And, I think, the time will come. Maybe it'll be, I'm sure it'll be a training camp and he'll do all the right things. But very simply, if I were to give him advice, there's a couple of easy things he could have done. One, he could have said, listen, this is a huge trade. I've spent the best years of my career with DeMar DeRozan. And I'm still getting over the fact it went down. I understand it's a business. I understand Kawhi Leonard is a fantastic player and all of that. So right now, guys, I just want to give it a little time before I really give it my full thoughts. Right? Something along those lines just acknowledges that it's there, that it did cause, like everyone knows, it must have caused a lot of unrest and anxiety. And, everyone just kind of goes, okay, we get it. Right? So he's not judging the trade negatively. He's not throwing his GM under the bus. He's being loyal to, his friend and teammate. Mm-hmm. So you can handle all that in a couple of sentences. And Kyle Lowry has been a pro athlete long enough, has been in the spotlight long enough that he should be able to, if he wants to, go down that road. And so knowing all that, when he chooses to kind of stonewall everybody and, he was asked directly, the fact that you don't want to talk about this trade, does it mean that you don't approve of it? And his answer was, I just want to talk about USA basketball. Because, as you point out, Sherry, he is now sort of, if he wants to be or not, he's sort of the vocal veteran voice of this team. There's no one to share that duty with right now. And, it was an opportunity for him to kind of recognize that role and step up to it a little bit, and that he didn't, you know, I don't know who would be disappointed, but, you know, it was a missed opportunity, I guess.
Yeah, when Kyle Lowry decides to dig his heels in about something, I'm not sure there's many people that can change his mind or sway him one way or the other. I was a little bit surprised, though, with kind of the, I don't want to say anger because I wasn't really there, but it really seems like DeMar DeRozan is going to continue to take this hard line against Masai Ujiri and the Raptors organization. And I'm not sure if this is in conjunction with the trade, but DeMar DeRozan withdrawing from the NBA Africa game and not participating in that, even though his teammate Rudy Gay is going to be on the world team participating in the Basketball Without Borders event. And then just him saying, you know, my relationship with Masai, done, over. Like, for me, this, at what point does it become overkill for you, Grange?
Not yet. I mean, okay. I think it's a little bit of you know, social media as an accelerant,
okay.
You know, like, because there's been zero access really. And the trade happened almost 2 weeks ago now, but when we were talking to DeMar on Thursday, it was only 8 days or 10 days after the trade. And it was only really his first public appearance. And so I think it was fine for him, I think, to talk the way he did and be asked the questions he was.
Okay.
Just because, you know, if it was during the NBA season, this all would have happened a lot more orderly. And but because social media, it just accelerates everything. Like, we get tired of things really fast. We get excited by things really fast. And, you know, I think it would be a little, like, DeMar's nothing if not genuine. And for him to come out and say how hurt he was and how upset he was, and, you know, you can make, that's his right, and for him to 2 days later say, you know what, it's all good, you know, would have, that's not where his feelings are. And you know, and I think me objectively, knowing some of the background, I think the situation was handled reasonably well. It could have been handled a little better,
right?
But that's not DeMar DeRozan's job to feel that way, right? Mm. He's heart and soul here, and his feelings are hurt, and that's fine. You know, I'm not judging DeMar DeRozan for not getting over this as quick as maybe somebody thinks we should.
Yeah, gone are the days where we're telling our male athletes, man up, get over it, move on, right? They're allowed to have feelings too, and I'm being dead serious when I say that. There's no sarcasm involved.
And also, let's keep in mind, right? Like, I mean, I think the reason this trade was such a thunderbolt was because, look, we can debate about DeMar DeRozan, the player, and as it relates to Kawhi Leonard, the player, and all these other ramifications, but no one in this market, you know, and I'm talking Canada or Raptors fans, can legitimately question at all DeMar DeRozan's sincerity regarding his commitment here. It was 100%,
right.
No holds barred. And I think, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. Doesn't mean he's put them beyond being traded, or doesn't mean he was a perfect basketball player. But, you know, I think he can't go down that road. And then the flip side of that is what we saw, just a guy who's hurt, who's angry, and he's not going to be forgiving, you know, anyone anytime soon.
Not so close.
So now the Raptors and you and all the reporters in the room have to move on, because DeRozan won't be standing at his stall after every game, and he did. He was amazing. He took all the questions all the time. So now who takes that role? Because Kawhi doesn't seem like the guy that is going to be in front of the stall every game, and I don't know what Lowry is yet, because he hasn't showed that, even though he is fairly good at speaking after the game. But what was positive is head coach Nick Nurse reportedly had a great first meeting with Kawhi. He said he's, yeah, you know, very smart, very intelligent, very engaging, asking all the right questions. So as you walk in to the locker room this year, how will you feel?
I'll feel fine. I'll feel the way I always do. Let's hope we can get this over with. But,
yeah, no overtime.
No. Yeah, exactly. No, I think what's interesting is, you know, we've been spoiled in Toronto, like we really have as Raptors media, and I think Raptors fans, is that generally all the key players who have played here have been outstanding with the media. Like, Vince Carter was always very good, really, even though he's young. Chris Bosh ultimately was incredible. And, you know, by the time he got to Miami, he was maybe the best interview in the NBA. And DeMar DeRozan evolved from, you know, non-existent as a media presence, so to speak, to being a really thoughtful, engaging, responsible guy. And that's only a small part of their job, as we know, but it is important. It is public-facing. It does set the tone. And I think what will be interesting this year is, you know, DeMar DeRozan on court will be missed for certain things. But off court, you know, he was such a low-maintenance, low-oxygen presence in that locker room that he really set the tone that way with the team. Like, I think other guys took a cue off him for, you know, and just being himself. It gave Kyle Lowry a lot of room to be himself. You know, there was no headbutting between the two key players. And, you know, in the absence of that, we don't know what's going to happen. And in terms of people taking a leadership role and being public face, I mean, Fred VanVleet's very young, but he's excellent. And I think he has respect of everyone in that room. So that's useful. CJ Miles has a bit of that too. But it'll be interesting because Kawhi Leonard's in an interesting situation, whereas I don't know if he really had to have a leadership role with the Spurs because of, you know, the veterans they had on that team with Ginobili and Parker and Duncan earlier in his career. And now he's very clearly the best player, and he's very clearly in a leadership position, and we have no idea how. And he's also, and we have no idea how long he wants to stay here or how committed he is.
Right.
So that's a kind of like an undercurrent to this whole deal, is the chemistry when your very best player wants no part of being a present leader, and also, you know, is very uncertain as to his commitment to the team going forward. You know, that has the potential, I think, to be an issue. I don't know how that translates on the floor, but those are some of the questions we have going into the season.
And Grange, I know you do have to get out of here, but I did want to ask you one thing, because we were talking to one of the writers in San Antonio, and he was saying that a lot of instances, Kawhi Leonard was protected from the media. You could request an interview with him, but it wasn't a surety that you were going to get him. Never mind a one-on-one, a scrum. Sometimes he wouldn't be made available. Does that make it frustrating for you, you know, as a journalist, to try and get that story, because he's clearly going to be the story? And how can the Raptors kind of manage that without infuriating the folks that cover the team?
It'll be interesting, because you end up just adapting,
right?
From our point of view, or my point of view. And Kawhi Leonard, he's sort of, you know, his brand is very clear. Right. So you kind of have a very low expectation, and I presume he'll meet that.
And you just get the one, you know, quote from, like, him. It's your lead. And then the rest is all,
yeah,
just your...
you know, like, I don't think you can. And again, I say it's not for my selfish purposes. It's more like from fans and public at large. Like, yeah, you like to have a feel for what this guy's thinking, what he's leaning, what's important to him. That's a little bit how you engage with him. And if he's has no interest in participating in that, there's not much you can do about it. So, you know, so you just kind of move on, right? So I don't think it's going to be, from a media point of view, it's not going to cause me any big problems. I'm sure if I'm a fan, you know, you'd love to have the mystery, you'd love to have some questions answered. But I guess you just have to accept. And I don't see Kawhi Leonard, you know, crossing the border and becoming a different cat.
Got to bribe him with snacks, Grange. Find out what his favorite chocolate is, his favorite candy is, and then maybe you'll get some exclusives, my friend.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us. Have a lovely day and week, Michael.
Thank you both.